second time that this president took pen to paper to do really the highest thing he can do, which is by way of executive order, the highest thing he can do on his own, because signing laws requires a whole bunch of people who are still trying to get their act together down the street on Pennsylvania Avenue. But he did, as the second thing, order every branch under his authority to have their own assessment and reckoning of where we lack equity in this country due to race, and to report back not just with the problems but with solutions. So there are a million other things I'm happy about, but those two, three things for sure, COVID, Paris Agreement, so my children can have a world when I'm dead and gone, and racial equity, which is important for me and my folks.
Why should we care about some of those things, Dr. Fauntroy? I mean, obviously, outside of the COVID thing, everybody needs to care about that, you know, certainly. But it seems that, as I said in the opening, you know, it's really, really hard to have an aircraft carrier hook a U-turn, okay? It takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of planning. And even though these things are done with the stroke of a pen, what impact might we immediately see?
Well, to your first question, it matters because things like clean water and clean air help to explain why some people are healthy and some people aren't. And if we want health for everybody, we need to be in this kind of thing together. So I think for that reason alone, you know, I think you can say that at least on day one, and of course we got to remind everybody it's just day one, that the aircraft carrier has a new pilot, and that pilot is beginning the long, slow process of turning around, not unlike a cruise ship, for example. So it's going to take time, no question about that. And I think that people need to have realistic expectations about what can and cannot be done in the universe of a 50-50 Senate that, you know, virtually anybody can stand up and block the movement of any real legislation that'll make significant change in people's lives. So it will take a while. It's not going to be easy. But where we are right now is so much better than we were just a few days ago. It just feels like there's some competent people running the government now, and that's cause for optimism.
Talk to me about realistic expectations, because some people are expecting there to be some magic pixie dust sprinkled somewhere.
Right.
And if that doesn't work, then they're not going to be happy.
So that's part of the issue, right? People always have unrealistic expectations when their president, when their preferred president is elected. You know, you know just as well as anybody the kinds of things black people were talking about when Barack Obama took the oath of office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding that there's a process. And for everybody that wants to do something, there's probably somebody that wants to not do that very same thing. And as it pertains to President Biden, you know, I think people need to understand, and they need to do a much better job of communicating with the public on how the process works so that they can tamp down these unrealistic expectations. Because when people feel like their expectations aren't being met, they often turn off of politics, and then that's where it becomes much more difficult to do some of the things that you want to do. And President Obama saw that in 2010 when he lost the House, in part because there were a lot of people that had become turned off because they thought that you just elect a president and everything else is on autopilot, and that's not the way democracy works.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stroke of the pen, lots of executive orders signed by the new president yesterday and today. A lot of changes and rearranging going on, but what impact do these things have on your life, and when should you expect to see them? We're talking about it tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go to Clara real quick. Clara, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Clara. What's on your mind?
Well, I was calling to say I like the job President Biden is doing. You know, first day on the job, I feel like, you know, he's going forward into putting things in place for to help the spread of this coronavirus. You know, he's saying to wear your mask, and he's saying, you know, it's not going to be over with overnight. It's not going to magically go away. And, you know, he's being honest. And, you know, he's not standing there or sitting there saying, I wonder if we could shoot some Lysol in the arm when it, you know, go away. So, you know, I do appreciate that. I really do.
Thank you, Claire.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know you have all of us, you know, laughing at that. But that's. But I think that you do make an excellent, excellent point. And thank you so much for your phone call. So let's talk a little bit about that, Monique. If you've finished with your giggles and guffaws and chuckles, because. Dr. Anthony Fauci was essentially unleashed.
My dude.
Yeah, today. And commented, for example, that he was so happy that he could now, you know, focus on the science without the politics. And that is such a huge change. And arguably, it really is the kind of thing that I think the American public we'll see, if not directly impacting them, just have the feeling that there will be, that the scientists will have a chance to speak their minds and hopefully speak the truth.
Dr. Fauci got up there today and said, promised land. Woof. Yes. And they had the nerve to ask him, and he gave the answer. He said, absolutely. I'm liberated. Eyes free. And we need that. You know, we need the smart people in the room, and not just in the room, but in the room without muzzles, in the room free to share. And the other important thing that he said was free to say, I don't know, and I don't know be an acceptable answer, not be expected to guess, not be expected to make something up, which is what we were dealing with in the prior administration, where not knowing was not acceptable, so it didn't even matter whether it was the truth or not. But then look at the tangibles, right? Look at executive orders that are going to ensure protection for the workers who are on the front lines, for that they have the PPP that they need, that they are getting vaccinated early as they should be, that there is equity in the manner in which that's being done. Who do y'all think that affects, guys? I mean, that's us. Look at the executive order continuing the halt on federal student loan debt. Well, look up who can afford their student loan debt and who can't. And I agree with everybody else saying cancel it. I agree. But at least for now, that money's going to stay in your pockets, people. The $2,000 that's about to roll out, because we now have that razor-thin majority in for House and Senate, that's going directly into our pockets, and that's everybody. So while I agree, sure, it may take some time for an aircraft carrier to do an about-face. It only takes one command for it to stop shooting.
And
I mean shooting us, because he might not start any wars with any other people. He's too busy fighting his own people.
So, interesting point.
No, something got called back immediately at the I, Joseph Robinette Biden part of yesterday's exchange. And just things that matter, I think people are slowly going to be reminded of what competence feels like, of what experience feels like, of what thinking before you speak is like from leaders, and the ways that it directly affects all of us. So, yes, I think that while it may not be fairy dust, and I completely agree with my partner in crime for the night, Professor Fauci, I completely agree that we have all these expectations. And then we get these disappointments. But my message for everyone for the year is this. If you have an expectation, you have the power to put on the pressure to turn that expectation into a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Please do not, with your expectation, look outward into the world for everybody else to do everything for you. That is not, Dr. Santre said, the way that this democracy works. The way it works is squeaky wheel gets the grease. So don't stop just because we got our folks in. Now we turn up the heat, the pressure, we lean in, we put some elbow grease on it, as my grandmother would have said, and we get to work, not just complaining, but supporting, requiring things, placing demands, being willing to do the work to have those demands met. Because just like black folks turned out in Georgia and we single-handedly did what we always do, which is save ourselves and other folks along with us, we can use that same power to get some economic resources. We can use that same power to get HBCUs some money. We can get that same power, right, to speed up vaccines in our communities through mobile banking and pharmacy and all of the other ways that they're going to try to get these things done. We've got the power to do that. And every time I talk to anybody this year, that's what I'm going to say. Okay, well, let's use our power.
There you go. I need to take a break, but Ricky calling from D.C., Jeremy also on the line. I'm going to talk to you both next, so please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the app at 96.3 HD2, and you can hear the entire program live. So stay with us. If you're on the phone, hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about some of the new key issues being ushered in by the Biden and Harris administration and why you should be paying attention. My guests are Howard University political science professor Dr. Michael Fauntroy and attorney and political commentator Monique Presley. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jeremy, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Jeremy. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Well, I did ask a question about COVID, but she was like, well, talk about this kind of stuff. I didn't vote. I've never voted for a president. I voted for Hogan. That was about it. But, you know, I do lean more Republican and all. And just trying to get a sense of, like, literally the only thing that personally affects me is like gas prices, if that goes up, because I drive all the time, you know, that'll affect me. I got my own business that I do. I rent, I have a small little dumpster company. And I just don't understand, you know, a ton about politics, but what's going to change so different in the regular, just working person's life? Just because, I mean, yeah, maybe the people's spirits will be up because this guy's in, and then other, you know, Trump supporters are all down and out and everything else. So it's like, did your life really change, you know, through all these different presidents, like just regular working folk, you know?
Dr. Fauntroy, I'm going to let you talk to Jeremy.
Well, there's so much to say. For example, if you like health care, if you like being able to have health care, for example, that's one thing you might want to pay attention to, because the previous president was in federal court trying to overturn health care for millions of people who got it through the Affordable Care Act. And the new president has talked repeatedly about trying to bring down the cost of health insurance for people who are small business operators and others. So that's one way in which it impacts the little guy, so to speak. And whether it's income or health care or housing or education or justice, there are grave differences between the two political parties that could impact the way in which regular people live. So, for example, the past administration was opposed to increases in the federal minimum wage, which has been stuck at about $7.25 for over a decade. The new administration wants to up up the minimum wage. Now, all you have to do is a little bit of math. If you work 40 hours a week and you work 50 weeks a year, that's 2,000 hours of work. And if you make $7.25 an hour, we're talking about $14,500 a year. That is not a sustainable wage for somebody to work full-time at the minimum wage. But there are now growing numbers of adults around the country who have to do that. And so there are all kinds of ways in which policy changes occur depending on which party is in control. Now, I don't want to oversell it because there are a lot of ways in which the parties are indistinguishable.
Can I jump in on the minimum wage thing? I've heard a lot of things from different economists and whatnot, and I don't know if I'm sold on raising up just automatically raising minimum wage just makes things better across the board. I am a little, I'm listening to the argument of, well, then, you know, just people will just hire less people and let machines do this and that, and I see that, and then listening to like the history of minimum wage and that, you know, maybe it wasn't always a good thing that it went up. I mean, like my son, he's 13. He's like, I want to work at McDonald's. You know, I can't wait till and I can work. If you guys sign off, I can work when I'm 14 and a half. And I don't even know if that's true. He just said that. And I'm like, well, and I'm pushing him toward go this neighbor over here. You do yard work and all kinds of stuff all over this neighborhood. You make way more money this summer than you ever will working minimum wage at some job. I just always felt like when you work a minimum wage job, you should just, you know, it's a minimum wage job. Like, you know, you don't need to kid yourself and think that it's a career. And, you know, that's good for young people to work those jobs. Is it good for a 50-year-old to work a minimum wage job and expect great things? No. But, I mean, you should know that going in. You know, like that's kind of always been my way of thinking.
Monique, do you have a comment for Jeremy before I move on to the next one? Of course you do. Go right ahead.
You know what, Jeremy? I think the best thing that I can say is there are many people. How old are you?
I'm 35.
Right, who are your age, who don't have the know-how or ability or family support or stick-to-itiveness or smart, because you sound like a smart guy or whatever it is that enabled you to be, as a small businessman, relatively unconcerned about anything but gas prices. It's more the case that your counterparts, if you're a black male, if you're of color, are harassed by police officers, are incarcerated disproportionately, not because they commit more crime, but because of the way that our criminal justice system works. They are lacking in health and medical support because they've grown up in impoverished conditions, no fault of their own. It's not about them not having any bootstraps to pull themselves up on. It's about being born into a systemic poverty situation that affected everything, including the way that their DNA progresses, which also racism affects the way that we grow and evolve as a people. And so part of what I would urge for you is the same thing I urge for me. Even if I'm okay, when I look at these people who are running for office, is everybody okay? Does it matter? Just that me, this one black woman, you know, with three kids and with a few degrees and with a little bit of money, does it matter that I survived Trump, or should I look at all those who didn't, you know, who were separated from their families, who were incarcerated, and the Department of Justice walked away from cases that we were pursuing under the Obama administration, like our civil rights division just shut down. So I think what would be helpful is, even if you're okay on healthcare and you're not hoping that your child is able to stay on your health care all through college until they're 24, which is something that the Affordable Care Act does for people that the past administration was trying to take away. Even if you don't need that $2,000 that's about to be in your account in a few weeks, even if, you know, it's not something that you're concerned about, that small businesses get entrepreneurial support and that we figure out how to stop redlining and how to get real funding into communities of color, even if you're not tripping off of any of that, think about how many other people similarly situated to you could be blessed. And think on those things and go just, and I'm not saying figure it out one way or the other. I'm not trying to change your mind, but I do hope that no other election comes and you don't vote for every single spot on the ticket one way or the other, no matter what that vote is.
And the only thing I would the only thing I would add to that, Jeremy, before I go to my next call is, and this is another even if that Monique was just saying, even if you have never in any way, shape, or form been impacted by COVID-19, even if everyone in your family is healthy, that there is a neighbor or someone in your community that you don't know that is no longer there because of the way that this was handled, for example, you know, last year. And the fact that we indeed just found out yesterday, and this is not me saying this, this was reported in the Washington Post and in the New York Times, that the new administration comes in and despite the fact that the previous administration said and has said that there was a plan for distribution for vaccines and all of these other things, they opened up the new door and the new plan and found out that there was nothing there. And so now Biden, Harris have to start all over. They've got to go back and reconstruct what the previous administration said it was doing that it was not. And those are the kinds of things where a vote is important, whether it's dog catcher, governor, or president, congressman, council member, what have you. Because if you have a small, you said you have a small dumpster business or what have you, your vote could impact whether or not where you now keep your dumpster or your trucks can be zoned in a way that you now must pay more to move them somewhere else. And so those are the reasons, yeah. And that's kind of why we were talking about this. This is why you need to pay attention. Just a little civics, but certainly, and I think it begins with paying attention and participating in this program. And I appreciate you calling and being very honest and transparent with us. And let the kid work when he's old enough. it's all good for us. Jeremy, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ricky, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to say good evening. I'm really enjoying this conversation. Monique, I want to give you much credit for what you just said to the gentleman, as well as you, Doc. I mean, y'all covered a lot. And I was just sharing with the young lady who answered the phone. You know, I just pray that we just don't put all our eggs in one basket.
What do you mean by that, Ricky?
When I say that, because we are looking for a savior. You know, so much has been going on with people of color. You know, like we looking for the savior, and the world is like now coming to those who follow scriptures and see that we say this is the end of time. You know, God is walking the earth, things like that. We are getting so far away from the scriptures in which we was raised on, which has been saving us from generation to generation from prayer. And we go right back into the hand that always betrayed us.
Well, let me, Ricky, I don't want to get too far afield. So, but outside of certainly, you know, faith, I think, which we all need to varying degrees, when we talk about what this new administration is doing now.
That's what I'm going, because I'm like, I just one day with
it. Well, go ahead, real quick.
That's what I'm trying to, because I know it comes. Because, I mean, that's why I say I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket.
Okay.
And say something that basically take me out of context of what I'm saying. Because I have not seen, heard him say nothing about youth. We have the highest rate of youth homelessness, and nobody ain't been mentioning it. The highest rate of youth homelessness, even in the nation capital, of the ages from 15 to 25.
Hmm. Okay.
Homelessness.
Let me stop you there, because Dr. Fauntroy, one of the other executive orders that was fine, and this touches on that, what Ricky is suggesting a little bit, is not so much about youth homelessness, but homelessness, period, in the midst of the pandemic, in that he is putting a moratorium on evictions until the end of March. Not very long, but all of this having to do with the economy and the pandemic.
Yeah, it really is a difficult position. And on evictions in particular, you know, if you don't have a moratorium and you allow people to be evicted, and I know the small and medium-sized landlords don't want to hear this, then you're going to have even more people out in the streets, right? And we have an economy that is not going to turn around anytime soon. And it was, you know, much of it was, of course, avoidable and should not have occurred. But, you know, this is part of the issue of governing, right? And as it pertains to issues like homelessness, education, public safety, a lot of these things are state and local too. And to Ricky's point about putting all the eggs in one basket, people need to understand that government operates on a variety of different levels. And if we have the expectation that, you know, it's on Joe Biden to get all this fixed, then it's not going to get fixed. The truth is there are state and local governments that have responsibilities, have resources, and need to be pushed to do the right things on some of these kinds of bread and butter life and death issues, including homelessness. It's a disgrace that it exists to the extent that it does in America. And it does in part because as a society, as a country, we don't care enough about many of the people, some of whom are living on the margins and need a helping hand.
Ricky, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to talk about some of the other things, some of these other executive orders. The Muslim ban, Monique, that is just such a big deal because in the previous administration, there was such a clutching of the pearls when that kind of thing came out and the ban was signed and it went through the courts and the court struck it down and there was all of this legal back and forth over that. And so now for Biden to sign that and to say, yeah, we're not doing it anymore, I think it's a big deal, real but also symbolic.
Yes, it is a return to decency and respect for humanity, for brown humans, and for those, again, even if you couldn't find a way to care about this because it wasn't you and it wasn't your family members, please know you were next. Because the whole go back to where you came from rhetoric was full tilt, and the line of attack was clear, such that the only people who were going to be able to come into this country were going to be from those who were from Norway or Sweden and such and so on, in any places that had browner hues. We're going to have restrictions and limitations, but we were all going to be welcome to exit and probably offered funds to do so. So for those who really understand that this land is your land, my land, this was a good day for us. It was a signaling of the type of democracy with a big D that we aspire to be. So, again, some righting of the ship.
Mm-hmm. You know, Michael, the other issue is the many legislative priorities, many of which I don't see that we haven't heard a lot about right now, and I think that's probably where Vice President Harris is going to come in to play. What do you think are going to be some of the big ticket legislative items?
I don't think anything can happen until they're able to drive down the COVID pandemic. You can't get to anything else until you can't reopen the economy until people feel safe and comfortable with going out to the mall, for example, or going into a restaurant, notwithstanding the fact that, you know, you got some people who don't seem to think this is real after all this time and still do it. But until everybody feels comfortable, you can't open the restaurants and allow them to hire people that will pay them the wage they need to be able to sort of get back on their feet. And so for me, everything begins with that. And then once you get to that, then there's some tax reform that needs to be done, the racial justice stuff that needs to be done. Healthcare is still a big issue. And that's a lot of stuff. And haven't even begun to talk about the international affairs things, because the story that has not yet been told enough, in my view, is that America's standing in the world is at an all-time low, and that's going to impact a whole bunch of things, including international business, that will need to be repaired.
What about
Carol? Can I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead, please. Sure.
Okay, great. Because I have my list, and these are things that I would like for them to do right now that I don't think COVID has anything to do with. They can come to work every day and get these done. So first, obviously, COVID. I want them to increase the amount of financial economic relief that's going to individuals, small businesses. So that's the PPP, but that's also freeing some restrictions on EIDL so that the disaster relief is available and doing whatever they can in that regard.
EIDL, and, Economic Development Initiatives?
Yes.
Thank you for the alphabet soup. I had to pause and my eyes glazed over for a moment.
Disaster loans.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the economic disaster loans that are offered by the SBA, that some people are being restricted from getting via credit. And there is some tweaking that can be done to that so that those are outright loans, but at very low rates. And so I would like to see more businesses be able to get those. And I would like to see some advocacy around that where people are asking for that, and that would be my lane if somebody hired me, but that's not a commercial. And then I want to see the John Lewis, right, Voters' Rights Act, pass it. I mean, stop tripping. Use what you've got. Get that passed. The George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, pass it. Okay? These things are teed up, and they're ready to go. The Anti-Lynching Act, pass it. Come on now. Do what you can do. Do it now. Do it quickly. Shore up health care. Because these are all things that, frankly, in the Senate, there are too many that are going to be scared to look crazy voting against. So these are going, I predict.
Are they going to be scared? Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hold on.
Well,
are they really? Did you?
All you got to do is look yesterday.
May I just jump in quickly? Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz have made it very clear that they don't mind looking crazy.
I was about to say.
And the rules in the Senate.
But their constituents care about them.
But they are about to be charged with crimes. I am talking about the fact that yesterday there were only 20 who voted against that nominee for Avril to come in, as opposed to what would have been like a 51 keeping her out. So the tide is changing.
I would hope
so. And what we have to do is shame the Cruises and the Hawleys of the world. I am not going to spend time on them except when their charges come up. And I'm waiting.
I hope that you are correct. But the foolishness and the shenanigans pre-January 6th and after January 6th are still in full effect, okay? Because you know...
Well, what are we going to do, Dr. Fisher, though? But, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, and that's my point. I hope that you're correct, you know, because...
Well,
because
no, where where's our power? Yeah, I might be wrong, but where's our power?
Well, you got to understand. I mean, I don't know whether or not you've lived outside this area, but I have, which is why there
I'm from the great soon to be seceded state of Texas.
Okay, yes, well then you let me make my point. Because there, and I try to tell this to black people who live in the D.C. metro, who have lived here all of their life. And I'm not talking about they are provincial. It's just they grew up here. They like it here. They stayed here. But there are places in this country, and you know this growing up in Texas, where you can live your entire life and never see a black person or a brown person. Huge swaths of this country in Missouri and Kansas and Ohio and Texas and Arkansas and Oklahoma. And though that is why we have red states and we have blue states, because that I think that that is the reality. And what we saw yesterday is a reflection that the Fauntroys and the Fishers and the Presleys are very, very comfortable with, because we have a vice president who we just can't say is black. We have to say she is of South Asian descent, because she is. And because now we have a person who is transgender, who is in leadership in HHS. But let's be honest, a lot of America not only isn't like that, but a lot of America doesn't understand that, because we saw a lot of America who decided they just wanted to come and visit on January 6th.
So let me just jump in quickly with a bit of a technical sort of
go ahead
civics piece that I want everybody to understand. So the Democrats control the Senate, even though it's a 50-50 tie, because the Vice President of the United States is the President of the Senate,
right,
and can break ties. We all understand that. But the number that we need to be focused on is 60,
mm-hmm,
because Senate rules are created in such a way that you can't actually move to final passage on a bill unless at least 60 members agree. It's called cloture. So that means that on controversial bills, if you can't get 60 votes to move to final passage, you can't even get to a point of voting up or down on the bill. And that is the way in which so many things have been killed over the years that make a lot of sense. For example, your boy Rand Paul last year knocked down a anti-lynching bill.
Yep, sure did.
You know, and so, and while I think
that, and was not ashamed of it.
Yes, proud. And while I agree with everything that Monique just laid out on her list, mm-hmm, of objectives, I'm just telling you that in a 50-50 Senate in which they're going to be fighting over everything, rather, and you got people like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley are trying to prepare themselves to run for president in 2024, it's going to be hard to get to get some of those things across the line.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that I'm wrong on that, but I just think that group over there is off the chain right now, and they're not interested in making public policy that makes sense. They're just interested in trying to win elections.
Which goes back to my point, and that is my fear, Monique, that I too, that is, you know, for me, that is the pixie dust that I hope would happen, whether it be at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or on Capitol Hill. But, you know, I think that, you know, the Democrats have, they lost seats in November. And things are really going to be difficult, which is why I think legislatively, you know, Joe Biden is, you know, he has the chops and he knows some of these folks, but then some of these folks are, you know, are new or newer, and they may not be as cooperative, which goes back to maybe can we Monique do something on infrastructure, because everybody likes roads and streets and bridges and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, some of them he doesn't know, and some of them, let's be clear, are criminals, right? They have aided and abetted insurrectionists just within the past calendar month, week even. So some of them are going to have some problems of their own. I am not, though, looking for pixie dust. My kids used to love Tinkerbell. I don't. what I did for my October, my September and October of this past election cycle was team up my foundation with Black Voters Matter and go home to Texas and work in Dallas and work in Houston and work in Galveston and work in Hitchcock and work in Lamar. Did we turn Texas blue this cycle? No. Did we have the largest early voter turnout in Houston and Harris County ever in the history of the county? Yes. Are we next? Absolutely. Because this was Georgia, and what happened in Georgia can happen someplace else. So, sure, there are people all across the United States who don't know what Black people look like, but it's got to be fewer and fewer because you guys know. I mean, in a decade or less, we're going to be a majority brown country. So, you know, I mean, it's like it's one out of two chances you're going to meet one of us.
But like I said, like I said last night, the low bar is that you would at least want people to do their jobs. You know, that's the low.
Well, yes. They had such a megaphone. And that's my parting words, that, you know, racists may never be not around, but we can shame them back into the extremities and the dungeons and the caves where they belong. And then we get to work. Everybody, especially in that House and that Senate, they got something they want, even the Hollies and the Cruises of the world. And once Donald Trump is standing trial, maybe they won't want to be on his hot on fire coattails any longer. They might not see that as their path.
You most certainly hope that they would be shamed into being on the wrong side of history. But even today, Kevin McCarthy doing some revisionist history in reference to what he said immediately after January 6th and now. It is, to coin a phrase that that young lady said yesterday, it is the, what is the hill that we climb? Boy.
Wasn't she fantastic?
Yeah, that's a whole show. Look, yes. Dr. Michael Fauntroy, Monique Presley, thank you so much for your input. We will be talking to you two again. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, January 21st, 2021. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.